Any thoughts? Oh, these are just 2-hour candles.
Pretty much, my first question is just a practical one. On Ekadashi, we serve, especially on a festival day like today, we serve prashad to guests. Should we offer them Ekadashi prashad only, or is it okay also to offer them grains?
It's okay to offer grains. Mm-hmm. Prashad, you can do anything. If you can serve them chicken, you can serve them grains.
How do you mean, Grimaj, serve them chicken?
Well, Bhakti Santa Sarasat Thakur said, for preaching, attracting people, Krishna consciousness, serve meat. Prabhupada told some devotees, I think he was emphasizing a point rather than saying something practical, because Prabhupada knew what was available where. But when he was sending someone to preach somewhere, he said that there's no vegetables there, so if there's no vegetables, then you just eat meat. As long as things are, yes, definitely for preaching, then it's fine, as in restaurants and other things. Certainly, you can always, it's always good to offer an alternative for people who either just want to follow a Ekadashi who know about it, which is very few people, or for someone who's just an interest. I could see in a restaurant where we say that today is a Hare Krishna fast day from grains, and we have preparations also available made from non-grains. I think some people would find that quite interesting and fascinating. So if that fits into the cook's time schedule and possibility, then it's good. For glorifying Krishna and ultimately spreading Krishna's glories, and giving people transcendental knowledge. It's the purpose or the essence. These other types of vows and austerities that we perform are meant to make us Krishna conscious. And certainly part of our being Krishna conscious is to make other people Krishna conscious. So if that that can be achieved in some particular way, whatever that way is, then those rules and rituals can be superseded by that. But if you can achieve that goal by both following that vidhi and at the same time preaching, then one should do that. So we should not make an excuse. Oh, I'm preaching, so I can eat meat or I can drink wine. Because you can preach without doing those things, and we see that it happens effectively. So that becomes offensive. But otherwise, it's fine.
How does one judge to what length it's reasonable to go to? For example, you mentioned a cook in a restaurant, if it's within his time scales. You could argue maybe we get another cook in on that one day.
To see if it works out. Mm-hmm. Does it work out financially? Does it work out practically, is there someone available? It requires intelligence and honesty, both of which are irreducible elements. In other words, either you got them or you don't. Then what's the other questions?
Philosophical questions are much about Vrindavan and about Lord Balaram. So Lord Balaram has some years ago I went to an area, I forgot what it was called, but it was a place where the residents there all worshipped Lord Balaram and they regarded him to be the supreme. And of course that's a mood, that's a bhav that they have. Of course Lord Balaram has his own gopis and his own pastimes. So how is it that, because of course everyone in Vrindavan is Krishna conscious, so how is it that are the gopis also Krishna conscious, but surely they're Balaram conscious if they have pastimes with Lord Balaram? So what is their situation?
I don't know, what does it mean that they worship Balaram as supreme when Balaram is supreme? But if they say that he's above Krishna,
yes,
then that's wrong. That's apasampradaya. That's siddhanta virodha. And that doesn't please Lord Balaram. That angers him. So you can't, you may be a Vrijbhasini, but you can't concoct worship. Vrijbhasini means someone who knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like you're a devotee of Lord Balaram, there's no harm in being a devotee of Lord Balaram. Pretend or think that Lord Balaram is therefore superior to Krishna, and I'm going to worship him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's certainly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's not the original. And although just like Krishna is God, but that doesn't mean that for us Srila Prabhupada or a spiritual master or other personalities aren't the all in all. So just because Lord Balaram is not the supreme, not the original form of Godhead, but he's Lord Krishna's expansion, it may be that the bhav of some devotees or the bhav of those gopis may be towards Lord Balaram. That doesn't make them not Krishna conscious. His Krishna consciousness is not. You close that window. Krishna consciousness does not mean that we're excluding. Krishna consciousness is inclusive, and so just because we're Krishna conscious doesn't mean that we're not Vaishnav conscious, Guru conscious, Prabhupada conscious, Balaram conscious. We worship his incarnation. We're praying to Lord Nrisimhadev every day. That doesn't interfere with us being Krishna conscious.
So do the gopis also have pastimes, as in Lord Balaram's gopis, they also have pastimes with Krishna?
No.
Just with Lord Balaram.
That's again rasa vas. The rasa is with Lord Balaram. Hanuman is Lord Ramachandra's servant, and his relationship is with Lord Lord Balaram. Excuse me, with Lord Ramachandra. Relationship is with Lord Ramachandra. He knows Srinati Janakinati Chadidun Paramatmani. He knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but still his main attachment, his main direction is towards Lord Ramachandra. Why? Because that's his Stai Bhava, that's his original identity, that's his original form of attraction, and therefore his rasa follows, or is based on that Stai Bhava. So the gopis, Lord Balaram's gopis, they're attracted to him. They respect Krishna in the same way that Balaram, for instance, respects Srimati Radharani, but they don't have any of that type of relationship. They also love Krishna, but in terms of expressing their conjugal love towards Krishna, that's not there. So, yeah, one should be careful of these two things. Siddhanta Virodha and Rasa Bhas. Wrong Siddhanta and the wrong Rasa. And that's why devotees, that's why Krishna consciousness it requires education. It's based on education. You can't just make things up. And if those foundations aren't good, if those foundations aren't sound, then what you build on top of it, that will also not be sound. So that's how Sahajism comes. Sahaja may not necessarily be just someone who's dressed in a man dressed as a gopi. But Sahajism comes with devotional practice that has wrong foundation. So foundations need to be very clear, and that's why it's important for devotees to be reading Prabhupada's books and be clear on these things and being able to distinguish what's a proper conclusion and what's an improper conclusion of philosophy and rasa. And statements elsewhere that indicates that Krishna, even in his childhood or boyhood, awakens conjugal feelings in gopis, and here it talks about elder gopis. That's not in, and although that may happen, but those are exceptional circumstances because they're not in line with the proper conclusion that Krishna, real transcendental love or amorous love, is only practiced and mature when Krishna is a kishore. For Prabhupada says that the acharyas don't discuss these things. They don't talk about them because people will all of a sudden come to some wrong conclusions. Foolish people, uneducated people.
Because it's an exception.
Huh?
Because those situations are an exception as opposed to
the... It's exceptional, yeah. And it's not something that goes anywhere. It doesn't. In other words, even though Krishna may awaken some relation, but nothing happens. Nothing happens because you can't do. You can't. There can't be any type of amorous relationship with a 3-year-old child. It's there, everything's latent there in Krishna, therefore it's possible that his touch and so on may cause those things, not with Mother Yashoda, maybe with some others who are not in the motherly mood, but are still they're young, but they're not like the peers of Krishna's gopis, who are also still very young. Just like they may have some girls show motherly feelings and so on, and, from a young age, boys like to play, girls are always playing with dolls already. But they don't, they're not mature enough, they're not developed to express these things. Therefore, it just becomes play. Anyhow. Knowing the principles, Rasa Tattva, Siddhanta Tattva, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Krishna Tattva, Rasa Tattva, Prema Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, all of these tattvas, they should all be known. Because it's not just some kind of haphazard development. Particularly, it's important for preachers to know these things. And so that when devotees ask this question, well, how do I know if this is a real feeling, spiritual feeling or not? If you're educated, then you know. Yeah, if you don't, then you have to approach someone who does, who is. Okay. Now, offering.